Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
On Capitol Hill today, the big story, the Senate, a vote to override President Obama's veto of a bill to give relatives of survivors of the 9/11 terror attacks the ability to sue Saudi Arabia in court. It's an issue with connections to almost everything else going on in the government right now. The White House has raised concerns about how the legislation could lead to retaliation from foreign governments and further damage relations with the Saudi government. Saudi-U.S. relations are at a low ebb right now. 15 of the 19 hijackers in the 9/11 attacks were from Saudi Arabia, and that's widely known. Joining me now, Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent. Todd, the override is a significant setback for the White House policy.
No question about it, because President Obama has only issued a small handful of vetoes in his entire presidency. And this is looking like the first override, the Senate voting today. The House will vote by the end of the week. And they both passed this bill unanimously. John, it's just the culmination of years of erosion in the Saudi-U.S. relationship. And the Saudi government, through various agents, has been lobbying hard in Congress to avoid passage of this thing in the first place, which they failed on, of course, because it passed unanimously, and then to avoid this override. You go back to the Iran nuclear deal, which the Saudis see as a tilt toward Iran, which they don't like. The United States dealing with Iran and Russia in Syria, and tangentially dealing with Iran against ISIS in Iraq by, activating the Shia militias in Iraq to fight against ISIS. And then the biggest blow just a month ago, the release of those 28 pages declassified from the 9/11 Commission report detailing contacts between Saudi government officials and their agents and some of the 9/11 hijackers going back before the attacks. Now, these votes passed in a huge way, and as I said, the Saudis have been lobbying hard against this, but all of the politics about this, especially in a late September in an election year, have just overwhelmed these efforts. And you say a defeat for the White House. Everyone from General Dunford, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, have warned that this could cause retaliatory lawsuits against U.S. personnel overseas. The White House argument, though, tacitly, John, is on another level. The White House has to go to a putatively friendly foreign government like Saudi Arabia. Obama himself has acknowledged that the relationship with the Saudis is what he says complicated, and it sure is. It's been lousy lately. This adds a wrinkle to that. The White House doesn't have direct control over these lawsuits when they're filed, over discovery, over the politics of those lawsuits, and over the families. So when they've got to go in secret or on national security grounds to a government like Saudi Arabia and say, hey, can you help us out with this, hypothetical secret foreign ops action, or help us lean on ISIS in this way, this is another lever that they can't control. And that helps explain why somebody like President Obama has been so against it.
Well, many people have pointed to the growing relationship with Iran as something that offends the Saudis and may even transform Iran into having the role that the Saudis formerly had, which would return the U.S. to a situation during the Shah, which goes way, way, way back. But this certainly complicates all of that. And I'm wondering if the flexing of Senate muscle here is also a sign that Congress has some government shutdown threats to attempt to make good on in this election month of 2016.
It's hard to tease out all of the different moving parts right before an election as Congress tries to race out of town to run for their own re-elections. But no shutdown alarms anymore, because they reached a deal late last night. There is a government funding bill, John, that runs out on Friday that got held up over a bunch of politics. Most recently, funding for Flint in Michigan for the water crisis there, holding up a deal between Republicans and Democrats. Look, there is almost, try to imagine an incentive if you're a voting member of Congress for a government shutdown now. We're almost into October in an election year. Nobody wants that. So they found a deal. What they're going to do is take $170 million for Flint, but they're going to tack it onto another bill that's moving, and they're going to pass a funding bill that keeps the government open. But I'm going to say they're not out of the woods. This only funds the government till December 19th. Luckily, that's after the election, so it takes some of the politics out of it. But by that time, they'll have to do a massive omnibus government funding bill. By then, we should know, luckily, who the next president will be and what the makeup of the next Congress is. So that'll shift things around a bit. But for now, they have a deal.
deciphering the priorities of Congress, always a challenge, particularly challenging in this month of September. Is Schumer taking this as a first step towards a broader sense of doing foreign policy in the civil court system with maybe Schumer hiring the lawyers?
You have Chuck Schumer of New York, of course, and behind that question, John, is that Chuck Schumer of New York is the next Democratic leader of the Senate, maybe the next majority leader if Democrats succeed in taking over here. And he has been the major ballast, the major pushback against President Obama on this issue. Look, he's the senator from New York. You can see why the entire New York delegation has been for this, because of the 9/11 families, largely from New York and New Jersey. So this can be seen as the first flex of new leader Schumer, but we don't know yet whether he'll be majority leader or minority leader next January.
Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent, back in Washington, taking care of all the business on Capitol Hill. Thanks so much, Todd.
You got it, John.
So Steve Vladeck, law professor at the University of Texas, with Todd Zwillick's analysis in mind, what's the chance that this vote on Saudi Arabia will be anything other than symbolic, which could also make the United States vulnerable to similar retaliatory lawsuits for American actions abroad?
The best case scenario, and I think the scenario envisioned by its sponsors, is that JASTA will clear away all of these obstacles that courts have found over the last 11 years, stand in the way of the families of 9/11 victims and the victims themselves actually having the courts reach the merits of their claims and try to get to the bottom of whether Saudi Arabia was somehow indirectly responsible for the 9/11 attacks. Those claims haven't gotten to the merits so far because of all of these different procedural blocks.
A much more significant issue, it seems to me, is the liability of the United States potentially in like drone attacks on civilians. The question of civilian collateral damage going all the way back to the Vietnam War. And this just seems like it opens a huge number of issues that the United States would be exposed to.
Even if the bill is only symbolic, even if at the end of the day there isn't going to be a meaningful opportunity for relief against Saudi Arabia, there's still the symbolic harm, and there's still the very real possibility that other countries will follow the United States' lead and relax their own sovereign immunity rules in cases that they deem to be acts of terrorism.
Has anyone ever had any success in civil court on an international case like this?
So there are examples under the Foreign Sovereign Immunities Act of some plaintiffs at least obtaining judgments against countries that have been designated state sponsors of terrorism, like Iran. There's been difficulties executing those judgments. So the plaintiffs have had a devil of a time getting any money, but they've at least been able to obtain judicial rulings that Iran was in the wrong for sponsoring acts of terrorism and so on. That's a big part of what the plaintiffs are looking for in these cases. It's not about the money, it's about the principle.
What if politically it was very different? What if the White House and Senator Schumer and Cornyn saw eye to eye on all of this, and there was a absolute consensus from the top down in the U.S. government that we got to go after the Saudis with everything we can? Would there actually be leverage that the U.S. would have to compel something out of Saudi Arabia?
So I think there would be leverage, but I think that civil suits by private plaintiffs may not be the best way to obtain that leverage. And I think in the Saudi case, if the executive branch really wanted to turn the screws on the Saudi government, this would not be the way they went about it. They would do it on their own through the Treasury Department by looking at the interaction between us and the Saudis when it comes to financial support. The problem with opening the door to civil liability is that it takes the diplomatic relations piece out of the executive branch's hand and puts it in the hand of individual plaintiffs and individual district judges. We may very well think in the context of the 9/11 attacks and in the context of these particular plaintiffs that would be worth it, but then this is the wrong bill because it doesn't actually provide those plaintiffs with what they're really looking for.
He teaches law at the University of Texas School of Law. Steve Vladeck joined us from KUT in Austin. Thank you so much, Professor.
Thank you.